welcome to the World Soccer Talk podcast. My name is Christopher Harris. I'm joined today by Kartik Krishnayar. For any listeners who have not had a chance to listen to this podcast in the past before, this is our weekly deep dive into the soccer media business. We talk about everything from streaming to television production to games that we look forward to watching on television and all of the latest news in terms of your viewing options. Now, Kartik, it's been a very big week this past week for soccer news in regards to viewing choices and viewing possibilities. So let's start off with that, though, too. Some big news coming this week from The Athletic. And this was a report by Sam Skeschkel, who reported that Apple TV Plus is in the running for rights to Major League Soccer. I went ahead on Thursday at worldsoccertalk.com and wrote a story about why I think this actually is a very good move for both Major League Soccer and Apple TV Plus. So check that out at worldsoccertalk.com for kind of my analysis there. But I wanted to get your take, Kartik, on this and whether you think this could be a good deal or a bad deal for both Major League Soccer and Apple TV Plus.
I think it would be a good deal for both. It would give Apple TV Plus some content and some maybe niche potential subscribers because they don't have much live content. Now they have Major League Baseball, but in terms of, we know how soccer fans are. Soccer fans are more likely to subscribe to a streaming service than probably fans of other mainstream sports. Secondly, I think for MLS it would be a definite winner. I the more this thing goes on, I think MLS should look at least on the English language side, I going full streaming. I don't know if they could make a deal with Apple TV Plus where Apple TV Plus gets all the English language rights and most of the Spanish language rights, and they can carve out some national games for Univision, or for Telemundo potentially. I do think there's a risk going all streaming on the Spanish language side, as we've seen data that the Hispanic language dominant audience isn't as comfortable with streaming and cutting the cord just yet, although that might come, right? And that's something that that broadcasters and media companies are expecting to happen. But for the English language dominant audience, I think MLS getting off of television and going full streaming, to me, makes perfect sense. And I've sort of made this case in the last few podcasts that I think a deal with Amazon, that's who I assumed it would be with, not with Apple. Amazon would make perfect sense. I don't think MLS is losing that much by losing, what would it be? This year they have 10 matches on ABC and 7 matches on Fox. So 17 matches on broadcast television, which are at random times, right? It's not like the Champions League broadcasts on CBS or the Premier League broadcasts on NBC, which are all at, over the air, which are all at the same time, right? Generally from week to week or whenever they take place in the case of Champions League. So I think that this makes sense. I think it would relieve some of the pressure on Major League Soccer in terms of television ratings. It would give MLS fans full access to all games, get rid of the territorial restrictions in terms of blackouts, etc., because you don't have a regional television partner anymore. And it would give MLS a long-term cash infusion for media rights. I think it's a winner. I don't know. I know there are traditional people at Major League Soccer who may be hesitant and nervous about cutting ties with over-the-air or linear broadcast, whether it's over-the-air in the case of ABC and Fox or linear cable in the case of ESPN and FS1. But I think it's a... It might be a lifesaver for them, to be perfectly honest. I do it.
So I think this is a come to Jesus moment for Major League Soccer because, like you said, Kartik, in terms of MLS executives, they must be hesitant. They must feel a little bit conflicted because they know there's nothing better than seeing your league on television, on linear. I mean, it's a comfortable feeling. It's a wide audience. There aren't a lot of obstacles to watching those games. And at the same time, too, when you have a game on ABC, you have a game on Fox, it's a big deal. It's sometimes those games are prime time. It's great exposure. It's great reach. But the come to Jesus moment, I think, Kartik, has to be some of the realization that these games that have been on ABC and Fox and Univision, these over-the-air networks, this has been happening for years. And those numbers are decent. They're not good. They're not horrible. They're decent, but they don't seem to be really increasing that much. The number on the English language side over the air for the regular season, it hardly ever surpasses that 500,000 viewership. So relatively speaking, in the sports landscape, it's not a big number. So if MLS says, you know what, let's go with Apple TV, let's get that deal, Apple TV Plus, the opportunity for lots of riches. You mean Apple's got $203 billion in cash in reserves. So you mean infinite amount of money. That will help MLS in the short term. Long term, though, there is that question is about the reach. If your league is not on linear television, does it decrease in popularity? Do you lose the opportunity to gain new fans who might watch a World Cup and get interested in soccer and then want to watch another soccer game, so they find a league that's on? And oftentimes, after a World Cup, I would argue that MLS is one of the most accessible leagues in terms of, it's on national television, it's on sometimes ESPN mostly, or FS1. For the average American sports fan, it is a very familiar experience in terms of, hey, I'll watch an MLS game on a Saturday and Sunday. And then they might dive into the Premier League and then the Bundesliga and other things. But what do you think, Kartik? Is this long term? Would this impact MLS negatively?
Yeah, Chris, I do think the World Cup bump is something to factor in, but we saw 2006, 2010, 2014, 2018, the bump, while there, is not significant enough to really move the needle in terms of MLS, right? In terms of their numbers, in terms of a sustainable growth. Moreover, I think by the time we get to 2026 in particular, which is the World Cup, obviously MLS has got to be most focused on because of location and because of time zone alignment, not just location. But this is why I think, for example, you posted something the other day about the 2014 number, World Cup final. And the reason why I don't think necessarily England, USA will outdo that number is time zone alignment, right? That was a Brazil World Cup, and I think that has a lot to do with ratings versus things that are on Central European or Middle Eastern time in the case of Qatar, or South Africa had a similar time zone to Central Europe. So I think that by the time we get to 2026, the summer of 2026, you're going to have even more cord cutters. You're going to have Apple having aggressively moved into the TV space with Apple TV Plus. I don't think it will hurt them the way maybe some people think looking at this in early 2022 it would hurt them. I think by 2026, you're further along with streaming. You get that slight World Cup bump, which again is a slight bump. It hasn't been a game changer. Although MLS did get helped, particularly by the 2010 World Cup. There was a little bit of an uptick in ratings from that World Cup, which, as I recall correctly, the U.S. did well in that World Cup, right? Won their group. So that might have contributed to it as well. And that World Cup was in South Africa, which was not a horrible time zone for the U.S., but wasn't a great one either. But I still think the benefits outweigh the cons. You can make a case, obviously, that MLS needs to stay on linear television, but I think a lot of that case is based on dated thoughts or thoughts that are made at this moment, which assume the situation remains static for the next 6 to 8 years, which it won't.
Yeah, I think that in many ways, if you look back in the last 10 years, MLS probably thought to themselves, we will have a moment in the next 10 years where we will blow up, we'll be huge, we'll be big. The reality is that MLS faces so much competition. They face competition on the soccer side from better leagues, bigger leagues, more popular leagues worldwide. And it's almost impossible for Major League Soccer to now surpass, say, the Premier League as one example, or Liga MX. It's practically impossible the way that things are heading. At the same time, MLS faces competition that the Premier League doesn't face, which is games played in prime time in the evenings, and Premier League have games because of the time difference on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, oftentimes pretty early in the morning when there's really not a lot of competition. MLS faces competition from NFL, college football, NBA basketball, Major League Baseball, NHL. So MLS is getting hit both sides with some serious competition. And I think the come to Jesus moment is like, should be a reality that MLS says, you know what? Yes, a World Cup bounce would be nice, but you mean how much of a bounce is it going to give us? And is it better actually short-term and long-term to go with Apple TV Plus? Because in many ways, you look at ESPN Plus. ESPN Plus was a trailblazer in terms of when it launched and what it's done for, in terms of subscription growth, over 20 million subscribers to ESPN Plus. It's been a runaway hit. And MLS was one of the first soccer leagues on ESPN Plus. You saw the Bundesliga doing a major deal with ESPN Plus. You saw La Liga doing a major deal with ESPN Plus. And often, in many ways, MLS, while not getting credit for it, has been a trailblazer for a lot of that. And it could be a trailblazer for Apple TV Plus too, with that streaming service getting into broadcasting sports and Major League Soccer potentially being the first soccer league to be on that streaming service. However, there are a lot of issues with this though, Kartik, because you mean, imagine if you get into a bidding war, well, not much of a bidding war, but imagine you get ESPN and Apple TV Plus trying to figure out in terms of what rights they want. And I would imagine that ESPN would still want a lot of those MLS games on ESPN Plus. So that's some competitive there too, where Apple TV Plus probably wants as much of the games as possible. But what about production, Kartik? If Apple TV Plus said, hey, we're all in, we're going to get as many of the rights as possible for streaming, and maybe some of the games on ESPN, those will be on television because Apple TV Plus doesn't have access to a linear network. So maybe there's a way to kind of split those and keep ESPN happy by having the TV games and then Apple TV Plus with the streaming games. But what about production? Because that was an issue that you brought up a couple of weeks ago about who's going to produce these games.
Well, MLS is going to have to produce them, unless Apple, because they have such a reserve of cash, would be willing to pay for the way I estimated it, talking to some professionals in the television production and television media buying business, is that the production, given MLS will have 30 or 32 teams for most of this contract length, and you're looking at a 34-match regular season in addition to potentially some additional matches, the entire production costs for the league is probably upwards of several hundred million during the course of the package. Now, that having been said, if you could offset some of those costs, it would be advantageous. Now, also the length of the contract matters. I mean, that's assuming an 8-year deal. If this ends up being a four, let's say this is just a deal to get through the 2026 World Cup, then those costs go down. But then MLS is again exposing itself potentially to expectations not being met and an open market after 2026. One other point I want to make, going back to your earlier point about potentially carving out some matches to keep ESPN happy or Warner Media if they want to show matches on TNT, whoever. Again, the issue of time slots and lack of consistency of when MLS games are on those networks comes up, which is another reason why I think Warner Media might be safer than ESPN. Look, MLS and MLS fans complain about this, but there's a reason. The ratings aren't good enough. Okay, there are not enough people watching, and the growth has not met MLS's own internal expectations and internal conversations with ESPN in the past in terms of where the growth would be by 2022. But ESPN shows games in all sorts of random times. I wasn't even aware, Chris, until after the match they had shown a match at 3 p.m. on Saturday. You must have watched it because it was an Inter-Miami match. But I didn't even know about this till Sunday, that they had shown a match at 3 p.m. on a Saturday, which sometimes it's 4:30 p.m. on a Sunday, sometimes it's Sunday night, sometimes it's Saturday evening, sometimes it's Saturday mid-afternoon. And this is because whatever they have bracketing, that time slot generally gets better viewer numbers. So I don't think carving out 30 games a year for ESPN and taking it off of Apple TV Plus, which could be a one-stop shop for English language MLS coverage is a good idea. Now, if it's Warner Media and TNT is able to dedicate, or TBS, whoever, is able to dedicate a permanent time slot each week to the games, okay, maybe then we can have the conversation. I would still lean against doing it, but I don't think it's a good idea. If you go streaming on the English language side, go full streaming and give MLS fans the access, unless you're going to make it such that games that end up on ESPN are also available on Apple TV Plus, which I don't think ESPN will go for. So I would just go Apple TV Plus. That's my inclination at this point. I think this could be a great break for MLS. They have been up against it, as we've talked about for several weeks with this TV deal. This could in effect rescue them, and whatever public relations mess they have to clean up for not being on linear television, I think can be cleaned up pretty quickly and efficiently versus the cons of just doing another deal with ESPN and not seeing appropriate growth and having sagging ratings and being in odd time slots.
I think in many ways, though, too, this will actually be a good move for Univision. If Univision gets the Spanish language rights, I don't imagine that there's a lot of overlap between kind of the Spanish language audience and the Apple TV Plus audience. I can see both of those living in kind of their own separate world, so to speak, where Apple TV Plus subscribers, even subscribe to getting the streaming rights to those games in English language. And then Univision and TUDN, et cetera, would be broadcasting the games in Spanish. So I think it's a better fit in some ways. Like ESPN would want to have the Spanish language rights and the English language rights because there's ESPN Deportes, and also knows that that audience probably is more split, where there's a lot of people that want to watch the games in Spanish language and they go to Univision. But I think for Apple TV Plus, this is a good move for them too, because this is an opportunity to tiptoe into soccer. It's an opportunity to kind of test the waters. And at this moment in time, this is the best thing going for them in terms of soccer rights that are available. They missed out on the Premier League. They missed out on La Liga. But this could be an opportunity for Apple TV Plus to start with MLS. And then in a year from now, potentially, look at the UEFA Champions League, getting into a bidding war with Paramount Plus. And then long-term, looking at some of the other rights that will become available and just growing that audience. It's a good test for them to see how many people will subscribe to Apple TV Plus because of MLS. And I think it's MLS in combination with many things. It's MLS, Ted Lasso, it's The Morning Show, it's Severance, it's all these different things, different movies, Coda, which won the best pictures in the Oscars. So it could be like that one thing that gets people to subscribe, to say, like, hey, all right, now I'm going to subscribe to Apple TV Plus because it's got all those things plus MLS. That's the goal. I think that's the goal for Apple TV Plus. I think they're in a good spot. It's a good leaked test to see, you mean, in terms of streaming these games. I think it's a win-win. But like you said, Kartik, I think MLS executives, especially old-school MLS executives, some of the NFL owners that have been with the league for so many years, will feel hesitant because in many ways, I think they would feel like, hey, we need to be on Fox. We need to be on ESPN. We need to be on ABC because there's kind of a comfort level there. And this would be a risk. This would be a massive risk because MLS potentially could be off the radar screens. Soccer fans could say, like, hey, I'm tuning into Fox and ESPN. I'm looking for this MLS game and it's not on any of these channels. I'm just going to watch the Premier League, or I'm going to watch Liga MX. I'm going to watch the Bundesliga or La Liga because I have ESPN Plus. This is a brand new game, a brand new streaming service. Well, relatively speaking, but for soccer, this is a brand new streaming service. It's good.
But is it? Because it seems like everyone has watched Ted Lasso. So yeah, they're not thinking about it as a soccer streaming service or a baseball streaming service, which they just started this past week. But clearly people have it. I mean, most people I talk to, and again, this is very anecdotal, most people that I talk to have it. You don't have an iPhone, so you may be in a different boat. But they got it as an add-on, or got it thrown in when they bought a new iPhone. They got it free for 6 months or a year or something, and just kept going with it after that. So I think Apple, and this goes back to the whole antitrust suit against Microsoft in the 1990s, and something I personally object to as a kind of a from an economics perspective. But Apple has used their advantage in selling tablets and phones to kind of rope people into subscribing to this streaming service in a way Microsoft did with their web browser, which was very illegal, and the Justice Department sued accordingly because of it. But I think more people have Apple TV Plus than we realize because of that.
Well, yeah, for me personally, Kartik, I have Apple TV Plus. So I had Apple TV Plus because I bought a Apple TV device. You mean the hockey puck, and I think with that I got a free year or free 6 months or something like that of Apple TV Plus. And then I think actually once that was over, I decided not to renew because I'm like, okay, I've watched all the shows I wanted to watch. There's nothing really there for me. Now, this would change things. You mean starting in 2023, if this deal is signed, then I'm like, okay, in order to watch MLS games, I need Apple TV Plus. And I'm sure that's part of the thinking behind Apple TV Plus, too.
One thing I have to say about Apple TV is they don't do a very good job of advertising all the programming they have. Because I have, like you, the hockey puck box. I have three iOS devices, right? I have an iPad, I have iPhones, I have an iPod. So I have three different Apple TV, Apple devices, iOS devices. And I have to dig even on the Apple TV Plus to see the stuff that they have, right? I mean, I Ted Lasso is out, is pushed in your face, and so is The Morning Show, the show they have with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. But other than that, they don't advertise what they have on there, and the Tom Hanks movies that they've done. They don't advertise the stuff they produce or that they're airing very well. And I've had to dig to find things, and there's some compelling content. It doesn't have as much as a Netflix or an HBO Max, obviously, but there is some good stuff on there, but they don't advertise it well, I have to say.
Yeah, Apple's definitely not. I mean, in terms of the iPhone, I think they're the masters of advertising, but Apple TV Plus, up till now, has still been, you mean, not a successful streaming service. It's one of those other ones. For most of our listeners, it's the Ted Lasso streaming service. But beyond that, and there is some good content on there, some good shows, some good movies, but they've done a poor job of advertising that. So I think a lot of it's MLS. MLS, if they sign this deal, MLS has to do a ton of work because there's a whole bunch of different issues here. Because most people think that Apple TV Plus, you have to have an Apple device. You have to have an iPhone or an Apple TV even streaming box. You don't. You can have a PC, you can have an Android, you can have whatever it is. You can still subscribe to Apple TV Plus and watch those on different devices and different platforms. And even just the naming, kind of we're stumbling over Apple TV Plus and then Apple TV. Well, Apple TV is a hardware device to stream, you know, all sorts of content on it, including Apple TV Plus if you want to. So there's a lot of education here, I think, involved in trying to, if MLS goes this route, they've got a lot of work to do to actually kind of educate the consumer to get them ready for 2023 so that everybody knows, okay, this is how it works. It's usually $5 a month, and that price may increase over time, but I mean, Apple has a lot of funds available. Maybe they'll keep that $5 a month rate for longer in order to lose money in the beginning in the hopes that they will win the streaming wars in the end. Speaking of streaming wars, Kartik, this past week, Discovery has closed the acquisition of Warner Media. So Warner Brothers Discovery is a thing now, and starting this week, they're starting to kick off and start kind of those plans. Now, what those plans will be a new streaming service, just what we need. But there's a huge, enormous amount of content from both the Discovery side and then from the Warner Brothers side that they can put together. And then sports is going to be right there too, because we know that Turner, Warner Media, acquired the rights to the U.S. men and U.S. women starting next year. And then there's the opportunity if they want to. I mean, MLS is right there too. They could go for MLS. We know they're interested. So timing-wise, MLS delaying this rights deal, because originally Don Garber had said that he hoped to have it finalized by the end of March. We're now in middle of April. Timing-wise, this may end up working out okay for MLS in hindsight. The other piece of news, Kartik, this week too, is that a couple of pieces of news. First of all, Fox and Telemundo announced their coverage plans for the World Cup in 2022 and announced the scheduling. So we have all of the schedules at worldsoccertalk.com, including the news from Fox and the news from Telemundo, as well as an interview with Ray Warren, who's the president of Telemundo Deportes. The big thing for me coming out of this is that Telemundo came out and said, okay, we will have commentators in the stadium at every single game. Fox has yet to make any announcements in regards to that. So I would imagine, because they're not announcing it right away, that there's a possibility that not all of their announcers will be in stadium. Some of them may be calling the games off a monitor in Los Angeles. And then the other big news this week, too, is FIFA Plus, another streaming service, Kartik. What's your take on this one?
Yeah, I guess I was caught off guard by the number of people who responded when I posted it the other day, whatever morning they announced it. I woke up to the press release, actually. I think it's really interesting because for those of us who like classic games, we're going to have access to everything via FIFA Plus and want to watch old World Cup matches or other old matches. But otherwise, it seems like a leftover service for a lot of women's and men's matches and leagues that are not on streaming services or broadcast television otherwise. So I don't know how many people will find utility in it, but what it does do, I think from a broader broadcast perspective, Chris, is it takes a lot of properties that potentially could have been on the table, off the table, at least temporarily, and they're on this FIFA Plus service.
Yeah, I think part of this, though, too, is that so FIFA Plus promises 40,000 games a year, which sounds amazing. You mean so whether it's in Gadget or Variety or any of these kind of Ad Week announcing with a headline 40,000 games a year coming to FIFA Plus, and I'm sure they're imagining that soccer fans will be just going crazy, right? This is amazing, 40,000. Well, sometimes quantity is not better than quality. And looking closer at this, too, and again, too, we have the story at worldsoccertalk.com on the homepage that goes into a lot more detail about some of the games and some of the leagues that you'll see on here. But just as one example, it has the Latvian League. Now, there's not a lot of demand for the Latvian League, but if you want to watch the Latvian League, you can watch some of those games through FIFA Plus. And I think that's the thing about this, too, is that in the past, if FIFA did show some games, oftentimes it'd be on YouTube. And YouTube's taking part of that revenue, you mean put in their pocket. This is a way for FIFA Plus to really control that a little bit more and have people coming to their site if they wanted to have sponsors, advertisers, and make more money that way. But yeah, Kartik, you hit the nail on the head. It is a place to go to where it's leagues or competitions that are not getting much. No one's picking up the rights to actually broadcast those games through streaming or television. And here's an opportunity to FIFA to say, hey, don't worry about it. We'll put these games on our service and that'll open it up for more people to access it.
Yeah, it looks like there are going to be a lot of women's games on there, which I think is a positive thing because particularly here in the U.S. where we're so focused on the women's game, we don't see a lot of women's football outside of NWSL, which is why I think active football was so important to get us access to some of the leagues in Europe, particularly the WSL. That will go to CBS Sports Network next season, so it'll be on. Although obviously NBC's shown some games, they even showed a game on over the air. Now other women's leagues will be part of FIFA Plus. Should mention it will be free. And if it is more organized than finding random streams on YouTube, I'm all for it as much as I object to FIFA ethically in other ways. This is something positive they and their sponsors could do for the sport. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the platform is and whether it's easy to navigate. And if it is, then I think it's a positive.
Yeah, it feels like from the beginning, it feels again like more of a MyCujo and 11 Sports, where it's just opening up and providing access to more games from around the world that oftentimes people would not be able to find, or it's just making it easier for them, for people to find those games. But yeah, it's free, so you can't beat that. All right, Kartik, in terms of this weekend, I mean, last weekend's Manchester City Liverpool game, to me, it doesn't get any better than that. But coming up this weekend, what's your game to watch? What's the game that you think that could surpass that?
Well, I would add that most year seasons, that would be the best game, and I would agree with you. I don't agree with you because I think the first Liverpool-Manchester City match was better. I think the Liverpool-Spurs match was better. I think the second Chelsea-Liverpool match was better. So that's how good the Premier League has been this year. Whenever these top six teams meet, when Manchester, let's exclude Manchester United, whenever the top five teams meet in the league, it seems like more often than not, they're classic matches, which is not the way it was in past seasons, and not the way other leagues have been going recently. So unbelievable just how good the top five in the Premier League when they match
I think part of it, honestly, and I say this honestly, is having Jose Mourinho not in the league actually helps things, because there's been so many games in the past before where it was like the Manchester derby.
Oh my goodness, that's a great point. Actually, you know what, Chris? You just hit it, because I'm thinking back to Chelsea-Man United games in the mid-2000s and Chelsea-Arsenal games and how those matches were ruined. And I didn't think about the common denominator, which was Mourinho.
Yeah, because the hype was there. The hype was like going into those games, it was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be absolutely incredible. And Jose would park the bus, or just in terms of just a really kind of constrained tactics, you mean, in terms of not opening it up much. And what you saw with the Man City-Liverpool game was just, all-out attack from the very beginning. Two sides, I mean, yes, defensively too, but still, both of them going for it.
And even Spurs-Liverpool this season versus last season. Last season, it ended up being a really close match and won at the end by Firmino, but it was Mourinho parking the bus and playing defensively and on the counter. This season, the Conte Spurs versus Liverpool, to me, has been one of the best matches of the season. I would actually rate it higher than this past week's Liverpool-Man City, because Conte, contrary to the reputation he has among some people, and I think those people don't watch Conte very closely, his teams, that was a match where Spurs had a clear plan to attack. It wasn't just on the counter. It was specific things he had highlighted that were mismatches versus Liverpool's fullbacks, and created this just incredible match with the same two teams that last year had thrown up a stinker because of Mourinho. So, great point.
All right, so my game to watch this weekend, Kartik.
Oh, sorry, I didn't get my game to watch, which is Palace and Chelsea, because part of the in the FA Cup, 11:30 ESPN Plus on Sunday, 11:30 Eastern, one of the things that isn't getting enough attention in the Premier League is how good Crystal Palace are to watch with a team that was largely rebuilt, a team that was aging and had a lot of guys out of contract under Roy Hodgson. Patrick Vieira comes in late, right? They had had an attempt to get Lucien Favre to coach, and he turned them down. I think he accepted the job and then backed out a day later. A couple of other guys they went through. Vieira has rebuilt this side into an attractive team. Granted, one of their key guys is on loan from Chelsea, Conor Gallagher. But they have a lot of kind of Guardiola feel DNA in them. To be honest with you, they play a very attractive style of football. Coming up against Thomas Tuchel and Chelsea, who have been playing very good football, I think we're really unlucky in the Champions League. So I that's my match to watch.
Yeah, and predictably, my match to watch this weekend is Man City against Liverpool. FA Cup semi-final, the other semi-final. This is on Saturday on ESPN+. Plus. I don't have the kickoff time in front of me. I think it's probably 12:30 Eastern time. But if this can be half as good as last Sunday's game, we're in for a treat. Liverpool with a chance here too with the FA Cup. Klopp has never won an FA Cup with Liverpool.
Guardiola's won just once. Guardiola has lost three times So my big bugaboo about Pep at City, I think he's brilliant. But the one thing that really bothers me is the underperformances in FA Cup. So three semifinal losses under Pep in the FA Cup, just one trip to the final. City did win that time. But to me, that's historic underperformance considering how dominant City have been in the league and in the other domestic cup competition during that period. So as a City fan, this game is much more important to me, honestly, than anything in Champions League. And maybe as important as the league. I mean, that I could go back and forth on. But I'm insanely frustrated by City's failures in this competition. And I'm sure Liverpool fans, who are historic Liverpool fans who value the FA Cup, are feeling the same way. Chris, this is a stat I'm going to throw out. Arsenal have won the FA Cup four times in the last nine seasons. In that period, one win for City, zero wins for Liverpool. The two clubs we think of as dominating domestic football have been trumped by Arsenal in this competition by a pretty wide margin. Unbelievable when you think about it.
Yeah. And City and Liverpool, of course, going for the Champions League, going for the FA Cup, going for the Premier League title. This is just, I don't know, to me, it's been one of the best Premier League seasons in a long time. Even the relegation battle, too, is really anxious, very, very stressful. I don't even support any of those teams. So I can just imagine what it must feel like for others. So lastly, just before we go, we do have list of the mailbag, and most of these we'll read out on air next week. I'm trying to do a shorter edition this week, but we did get one letter. Well, actually, we've got several letters. We've got several letters, but we only have time to read one today. We'll read the next week. And this is from somebody within the industry, anonymously, talking about the topic of Fox Sports and potentially being sold in the future. Anonymous says, when Disney bought Fox, they acquired all of the international channels all over the world and also the regional sports channels in the US, but all these channels had to be sold off or closed down. When Fox bought the NFL rights back in 1996, beating out CBS, many of the TV channels were not owned and operated by CBS and became Fox channels. So if Fox Sports sells the rights to the NFL and Major League Baseball, those Fox stations could want to leave Fox as it would no longer have those rights. But where would they go? If Disney bought those rights, those broadcast stations couldn't become ABC stations. So it looks like if Fox Sports is on the block to be sold, the best purchaser would be a streaming service such as Apple TV Plus or Amazon. If that were to happen, the local Fox broadcast channels would still take a serious financial hit.
Yeah, that's a great point. I had completely forgotten that did happen in the 1990s. So basically, for those of you who are younger or didn't follow the media then, and I was in college at the time, but I was already into media stuff. I was working at the campus radio station at the University of Florida. What happened was Fox's affiliates were largely like these old UHF stations, right? They'd be channel 40 or channel 28 or these throwaway low wattage stations that didn't have very much of a signal. They were not a legitimate fourth network. And when they acquired the NFL rights and CBS lost it for several years, there were a number of CBS affiliates not owned by the network that switched. So then Fox ended up having channel 6s and channel 8s and channel 12s around the country. And it really kind of realigned some of the broadcast over-the-air channels. Now, 30 years later, I guess we are now, in a new world with the internet and streaming, it may not matter as much. But that is a very, very good point that I had forgotten about. That's really what established the Fox network, was the knock-on effect from getting NFL rights allowed them to get affiliate channels in major markets that were lower on the dial at the time. The other point is about them selling everything outside of the United States and UK and Australia to Disney. A number of those channels have been closed down. Some of them have been repurposed. But Disney then inherited the inventory of rights that Fox had acquired. So one thing I have heard also, Chris, about this is that ESPN and Disney actually didn't have enough broadcast talent in some places to properly air all of those rights. and to produce it properly, and they've gone with world feeds and things like that. So, and then some channels have been closed down, some channels have been maintained, they've been rebranded or whatever, and we've even seen them be kind of clunky with this. So Hotstar, which I know we talked about a few months ago, right, on the podcast and the listener mailbag, which has now been folded into ESPN Plus and Hulu, that sat for several years as a property that Fox had really established in the Indian market. And Disney acquired it with the asset purchase, and it took them 3 years to figure out what to do with it and to repurpose it. So that's kind of the other part of this. Would Disney be actually able to acquire these assets and optimize them quickly? And the answer is probably no.
Yeah, definitely. Great feedback and then great analysis there by Kartik. So listeners, if you've got something you want to ask us, we'd love to read your comments out on air. You can always reach us via email through web@worldsoccertalk.com, as well as facebook.com/worldsoccertalk, and on Twitter @worldsoccertalk. Plus, of course, you can always post your comments on the podcast stream, or kind of the feed at worldsoccertalk.com. So in closing, a big weekend to look forward to, some big matches, and also it will be very interesting to see what happens with Apple TV Plus. From what I understand, MLS is meeting today, Thursday, to discuss the TV opportunities and streaming opportunities, so I'm sure that will be a topic of conversation. And heading into another weekend, Kartik, what should the listeners do, and what are you going to do?
Enjoy your football.